It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farad. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we look at how the Affordable Care Act is affecting HIV-positive people here in Wisconsin.
But first, two groups of scientists reported yesterday that a large part of the ice sheet that covers the West Antarctic is rapidly melting due to global warming.
These reports have jolted the scientific community, who fear that this could lead to a significant rise in sea levels sooner than previously expected.
A scientist on one of the teams is with us now to share the findings. Eric Rignot is professor of Earth System Science at the University of California, Irvine, and a glaciologist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. Eric, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, Eric, you're part of one of the teams that discovered this rapid melting of the West Antarctic ice sheet. What did you find?
Well, maybe the word discovered is a little bit too strong. We've known about the evolution of ice in this sector of Antarctica for quite a while. Probably the last 20 years, we've been keeping a close eye to this part of Antarctica. It's more like we reached the point where we collected enough observations and multiple lines of evidence, and especially along the lines of mapping the bed beneath the ice sheets, to reach our conclusion that the retreat of ice in that sector was unstoppable.
As I understand it, this is an ice sheet that is sort of in the form of a bowl and that there is water underneath it that's contributing to the retreat of the ice. Is that how you describe it?
It's in the form of the bowl because the ice depresses the crust beneath it. So as you move farther inland, the ice getting thicker and the bed is at lower elevation. The base of the glaciers are all below sea level, so that big piece of ice wants to become afloat into the ocean. But there's no water underneath that ice sheet. It's just at the periphery. Right? These glaciers flow into the ocean, and they develop these floating extensions that interact vigorously with the ocean.
And so how did these two teams, your team included, come to the conclusion that what is happening now with this ice sheet in Antarctica is unstoppable, that it will be retreating and it's going to lead to rising sea levels?
The reason we reached that is that we have long-term observations of the evolution of the glacier velocity, all the glaciers in this area. We've seen all the glaciers in that sector respawn, accelerate, thin, and retreat at the same time, which suggests the common cause for the forcing, which is the ocean. We've seen the retreat of the grounding line, the place where they meet with the ocean and become afloat. And one of the important pieces also is that we gathered a lot of information on the topography of the bed beneath the ice sheet. This was done over many years of surveys by aircraft, combined with some other data to reveal high-resolution details to sort of unravel if there were any pieces of the bed topography that could slow down the retreat of these glaciers towards the interior. And we reached the point where we think that there's no such thing, no such big mountain that could halt their retreat.
Now, scientists, as a general rule, don't tend to be hysterical about things. They don't tend to be overly dramatic or use hyperbole. And yet, a lot of the quotes that I've seen about this, it's clear that this has sort of shaken those in the community who study glaciers. How big a deal is this?
I think among the community of glaciologists, it's probably not a big surprise to make this statement. You know, the concept of the instability of this part of Antarctica was brought forward by brilliant scientists back in the 70s, Terry Hughes and Bob Thomas and others. At the time, there was no observations to confirm whether these projections were right or not. We had to wait until the 1990s to really get some good observations of this part of Antarctica. It's one of the most remote parts of Antarctica.
And as I understand it, some of those who put forth the theory that this part of the glacier was vulnerable back in the 80s, those scientists were sort of harassed and not listened to, and yet here it has come to pass. What do you think happened over that scope of time to get us to this point where it seems as though that prediction is correct?
Well, I think not necessarily harassed, but there was a little bit of suspicion that, well, maybe they were right, maybe not. And since there was no direct observations of these areas, it was very difficult to go one way or another. This really changed around the early 1990s, where we could actually observe the evolution of these glaciers from satellites for the first time. Also, some research teams ventured for the first time by ship in these areas to unravel what the ocean temperature were looking like along the coastline.
And what will be the impact of this?
Well, the impact over the long term, because as we mentioned in our reports, this is the long term retreat of ice in West Antarctica. It's going to take a couple of centuries for all the ice to be removed from these areas. The long term impact, of course, is sea level rise. There's enough ice to raise global sea level by a meter, four feet in this sector. But it will most likely entrain the retreat of the rest of West Antarctica, which could contribute another 10 feet of sea level rise.
And we're talking about melting that will occur over centuries, right?
It's difficult. That's a tough question. The timescales of evolution of these entities. We are at the point where we can say with reasonable certainty that this ice is going to go into the ocean. Whether it's going to take one or two centuries or three or four centuries, the jury is still a little bit out on that. The numerical models, the computer models that require to be used to do this are making progress. They're getting better at it, but they're not at the point where we can really rely on them for projection into the future.
Would you expect to see rising ocean levels that would affect coastal communities, for example, in the shorter term, maybe within our lifetimes?
Well, I think the projections for the end of this century are of a global sea level rise of about a meter. It could be a little bit more than that, a little bit less. This is not necessarily the type of number that you will see emerge from IPCC reports that form a consensus opinion based on all published literature of many years back, and also that uses numerical models that cannot quite account for all the rapid changes that are taking place in the Antarctic at present. So they inherently underestimate the contribution of these entities to sea level. 1 meter is a big deal. It will affect a large number of the coastal population around the world, millions of people. And in some places, they will be able to adapt. In some others, they will not, and they will have to move away. But the world does not end in 2100 either, and sea level rise will continue well beyond that.
Now, as I understand it, the New York Times reported that the ozone hole over Antarctica may also have been something that has played a role in this.
Yes.
How would that factor in here?
Well, a lot of the changes we're seeing in the Antarctic, they are a little bit more difficult to explain to the public than what's happening in Greenland, where you have warmer air temperature, warmer ocean, and everything melts. Nothing is melting in the Antarctic, at least not yet. Or wherever it melts, the meltwater stays in place. The changes we're seeing are associated with changes in oceanic circulation in the Antarctic, which are associated with the wind pattern. The wind regime around the Antarctic continent. And that wind regime is pretty much driven by the temperature distribution around the Earth. And in the last few decades, the rest of the world has been warming up faster than Antarctica. And the ozone has played a role in that, in keeping Antarctica cool. And the greater temperature differential between Antarctica and the rest of the world has increased the wind speed around Antarctica and allowed some of these subsurface warm water to intrude in places where they didn't used to be as much.
According to some reports, NASA called an urgent meeting on this yesterday, and you're a senior research scientist at NASA. How worried are you and your colleagues about this?
Well, it's not. This story is not really about worrying people. It's about making a stand that we reached a point in our understanding and observation of this part of Antarctica that we can say that the ice in this sector is going to retreat and continue retreat almost no matter what. Now, of course, the models clearly suggest that in a context of of a warmer climate, if climate continues to warm, it is likely that the retreat of ice in that sector will proceed on a much faster pace.
Eric, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That was Eric Regnault, professor of Earth System Science at the University of California, Irvine, and glaciologist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab.